you've got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. You've got the money, honey, I've got the time.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein.
And a good Friday evening to you. Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein talking horse racing till the top of the hour. We are 2 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships returning to Churchill Downs for the first time in 7 years. Hard to believe it's been a seven-year hiatus. Be here for the record ninth time. And starting to bustle with activity over at 700 Central Avenue. And Kevin Kirstein, I know, was on hand this morning for some of the key Breeders' Cup workouts. KK, we've got a handful of the horses coming in. A great majority of them will arrive Breeders' Cup week, arrive late. We have on Monday the pre-entries due. On Wednesday they'll be announced to the public. But we have a handful on hand. Mind Your Biscuits led the way with some of the workouts today. Tell us about them.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing more and more often, we see it around Derby time, two of these horses doing their major prep work at their home track. So the California horses, the New York horses are all doing their major prep work at their home track. But we have about 30 horses that are on the backstretch right now. And you mentioned Mind Your Biscuits, who had a 6-furlong breeze this morning in company with Imperative for Ron Paolucci's Luch Racing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, Mind Your Biscuits, again, very much impressed in this work. He went 1:15. Don't really mind the time because he started off slow in that work and gradually got faster. So, you know, those of you who are sort of novice and looking at workout times in the program, this is a perfect example. Time doesn't always matter because mm-hmm. he went fast late in this work. This was a work, Darren, to me. I mean, I don't see this horse going anywhere but the classic. He galloped out near the track kitchen, so when he starts at the three-quarter pole and he's galloping out around again to the track kitchen, I mean, this, to me, showed me this is a horse that is working to go a mile and a quarter.
Trainer Chad Summers can say all he wants that three races under consideration, the classic, the sprint, the dirt mile, there's only one race he's going in, and it's the Breeders' Cup Classic worth $6 million, and like you said, based off of the workout alone. Another classic contender that's on the grounds is Godolphin's Thundersnow. He, too, had a endurance kind of building workout. Does time matter with this? Didn't he go a mile and 42?
He went a mile and 1:42 and yep. two. Yep. Again, this was a key where this horse started breezing at the wire, and so he crossed over to the rail at the wire, and then they really wanted him to pick it up right around the 7-furlong pole. So he went slow for that first part of the work. He was gradually breezing 12 seconds for every furlong, which is normal, which mm-hmm. is a good solid time. And so that's what he was really doing the whole way around there. He went 1:42 and 2. He galloped out in 1:56 and change for a mile and an eighth. This is another horse who has really been doing well in the mornings. You could see that he's really hard to pull up for the rider in the mornings on the backstretch. So they wanted to get him more of an endurance type of workout just to get the air in the lungs and make him get a little bit more fit for this classic and release some of that energy that we'll see for the next 2 weeks. A lot of these horses will now take a little bit of an easier route the last week to the Breeders' Cup. So it's more of an endurance building and getting some of that energy out that he had.
And those are, like you said, penultimate workouts. Those are the key ones, I think, right before the big event. Thundersnow comes into the classic off of a heartbreaking second-place finish to the long shot Discreet Lover in the Jockey Club Gold Cup at Belmont Park. He, of course, won the Dubai World Cup earlier this year. He's going to be one of the top contenders in the classic. Another classic hopeful is the Dallas Stewart train Seeking the Soul. He, of course, won the one-mile ACAC. He has a backup plan of going in the dirt mile. He might not get into the classic. That's the problem.
It's crazy.
But he had a breeze this morning as well.
Yeah, he went 5/8 in 101. He just went by himself, and this was a gradually picking it up for trainer Dallas Stewart, who it's funny talking to Dallas. He was the regular rider of Winning Colors when he was with Wayne Lucas as the assistant and as an exercise rider, and Dallas is really big on patterns. And so he talked about how they worked all of their Derby horses when he was with Wayne on Fridays, giving themselves an extra day wiggle room if there's any impending weather. And so he's been working Seeking the Soul. Last week he breezed in a half mile in 51 and change, really not all that fast. And then today 101, Dallas had him a tick faster on his watch, but you know, time only matters if you're in jail. Mm-hmm. This is another horse, you know, talking to some of the connections that keep adding their names to this Breeders' Cup Classic picture. This committee is going to have themselves a difficult time because it's the top seven horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic. You're going to have your win and your in horses plus the point system for graded stakes placings, first, second, and third. So the top seven really matter. Then the next seven to make the starting gate for the Classic is determined by the Breeders' Cup Selection Committee. So the pre-entry will mean a lot on Wednesday, especially for the Classic.
Yeah, those top contenders include Accelerate, who will be the favorite. You have the Bob Baffert duo of, you know, McKenzie and West Coast. Catholic Boy is on the grounds, the Travers Stakes winner. Yoshida, who, of course, won the Woodward. Mendelssohn, Thunder Snow, Mind Your Biscuits. Those are really the top contenders. Then you have, you know, the Axelrods, the Seeking the Souls, the Gunavera Collected, even for Bob Baffert, might join the fray.
We'll find out.
So it's, yeah, we'll find out. In fact, let's go to him right now because he is our special guest this evening. We go to a dual Hall of Famer now. We have, of course, the Hall of Fame trainer, but he was inducted this summer into the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame, and I know he's on the Grade 1 couch right now out in Southern California, and we look forward to his arrival here at Churchill Downs. Bob Baffert, good evening. How are you, pal?
Darren, thanks for having me, and we're looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you, and you've got quite the arsenal lined up. We were just talking about this Breeders' Cup Classic, and of course, you were the trainer of Justify, and, you know, from a national, you know, kind of, this is the PR guy talking, from a national perspective, you know, the anytime you don't have a Derby winner, or, you know, take it a step further, the Triple Crown winner, you wonder, you know, what's this Breeders' Cup Classic going to look like from an eyeball and interest standpoint? But this is a tremendous gambling race, a very competitive race that's deep. We have a horse that looks to be the horse to beat out there in Southern California from John Sadler with Accelerate, you know, who you have to take your hat off to him by sweeping the Santa Anita Handicap, the Gold Cup at Santa Anita, the Pacific Classic, and the Awesome Again. But you've got quite a really a trio in McKenzie, West Coast, and even Collected, who kind of faltered in of late, but appears to be working well. Are we on track with all three horses heading into the Classic?
Yeah, I think I got caught up there with Collected and West Coast. They lost some time this summer, and you know, getting them back, and I had to get a race into them when they weren't really not quite ready to run, but it's amazing what one race will do to it's like five works, you know, and it sharpens them up. And right now, Collected, I was really not looking, you know, thinking about running him at all in the Breeders' Cup, but then after those last two works, he looked like he's just jumped back to his old self and working extremely well. And West Coast, he's probably doing the best he's been in his career. And so, and then we've got McKenzie, who, you know, after that hard race at Parks, I was a little bit, you know, I let him come back on his own because he lost some weight. He couldn't be doing any better. So those three horses are, you know, they're gonna make a big statement, I think. If they all show up in the game, I really think, you know, one of them can step up. And win it all.
And we joked via text. I know Mike Smith has ridden all three in their last race. He said, we're not even going to talk about jockeys tonight because it's going to be a tough decision for Mike, and I know you'll work that out in the coming days. But speaking of West Coast, I have to take you back. This is what jumped into my mind watching the Awesome Again when you sent him to the front off the, what was it, an eight-month layoff? He was off the entire summer after running second in the Dubai World Cup. But I had a flashback to 1997 when I was standing with you track level near the winner's circle watching the 97 Santa Anita Derby, and you sent Silver Charm to the front to go neck and neck at a breakneck pace with the mare Sharp Cat. He fights, he runs second, and I know you're not going to remember this, but I vividly do. You turned to me and gave me a big high five saying, that's exactly what I was looking for. I thought of that race with West Coast. Is that what you were looking for off the break?
No, I just heard Wayne Lucas say it all the time, so that's why I said it to
you. Excellent point.
No, it was. You know, we knew then that, you know, we knew we lost the battle, but we were going to win the war. And, you know, we talked about it afterwards, and Gary said, you know what, I knew that mare was going fast, and I was going to lay off of her because DeSormo saw what was going on, so he laid off at Freehouse, and I was going to lay off too. But then I thought, oh, I can just hear you, you know, yelling at me, saying, why didn't you stay up there? And then I told Gary, you know, you don't have to listen to everything I have to say. You know, you could have. But I really felt that Silver Charm, he would have won that race if he hadn't been a little bit, you know. And it all started out because I heard Wayne Lucas talking on the Roger Stein show that morning, the little show they had there in the morning.
Yep.
And he said he was going to steal it, and he was going to do like Winning Colors, put her in the lead and steal it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard it, and I thought, well, I don't think so, you know, and so.
But weren't you playing a little? Weren't you playing a little catch up with Silver Charm?
Yeah, I was, you know, because he'd been sick, and so I missed the Breeders' Cup with him. So we're getting him back, and he had his first out. His 7/8 race was probably the most impressive race.
Yep.
Because he was in the gate. I'll never forget Bob Lewis. He had two horses in the race. One Wayne had one, and I had Silver Charm. And every time we had. If he had two horses with two different trainers, Beverly would sit with one trainer and he would sit with the other trainer.
Yeah.
But he always sit with the trainer that he thought had the better horse. So he was sitting with me.
Yeah.
And Silver Charm broke to the gate, and I thought, oh wow, this is not good.
Yeah.
Bob, I don't like our chances. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and said, Bob, don't start leaking on me now. He told me this horse is ready. And sure enough, he broke and he won the race. And it was so funny. From then on, Bob Lewis, you know, before a race, you know, I said, oh, we're doing great. Right in the day of the race, he'd say, Bob, are you leaking yet? I said, no, not yet. Well, we're good, you know. But I'll never forget that. And that race right there, and then we sent him long. And his second out, he sort of was running and he fell back like he wasn't going to run at all. And mm-hmm. I remember McCarron was on him and he was on the outside. And McCarron says he wasn't running. So he took him down to the rail just to see if he could, you know, maybe the dirt would hit him and get him, you know. I mean, that's what, when you, these great riders, they do stuff like that, you know, that, mm-hmm. you know, I would never have thought of doing that, but he did it. And all of a sudden he says he picked up the bit and started running and ran second. So, it was, you know, it was, I learned a lot from Silver Charm. I mean, I wish, you know, now what I know now, you know, I think of all the way I, you know, got horses ready and stuff. I, you know, I should have, you know, I'm just a wiser, you know, you learn from your mistakes, but I made a lot of mistakes back in the day, but I think I'm finally figuring it out.
Well, and that takes me back to West Coast. All week leading up to the Awesome Again, we're reading about how, you know, unlike most of the horses you have, he's always difficult to train a little bit, or he's just not the world's greatest workhorse. You thought you had him at 80%, and so you go right to the front, a 1/8 race, solid fractions. I thought he was going to fade a little bit on the turn, which, you know, of course, accelerate, you know, ranges up and beats him, but he didn't quit. That was a solid effort for an 80% horse. I would expect, as a handicapper, that this is a horse that's going to move forward off that effort, and I'm curious now where you think.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, because, you know, Mike, the second quarter there, he sort of, you know, he was trying to sort of get separate himself because the horse was going to come up short. And he thought if he separated himself early, they would leave him alone. But he said, they got to me. They got to me really quickly. They just got to him by the half-mile pole. And I thought, oh, I didn't like, you know, then that move was not, it wasn't a good move. It was the wrong move. So when he got to the quarter pole, and I could just tell the horse was empty. He was just, he had every reason to just lay down and run fifth, whatever. But being that the good horse that he is, he just dug back in, and he was trying to win, you know, desperately, and he came up to run second, and actually, it wasn't like, he wasn't blowing hard, he was just, his legs got a little tired, you know, from making that move. But since that race, I see a big difference, and what I did with him, I made a big mistake with Arrogate. Arrogate ran so hard at in Dubai that I should have just stopped on him and freshened him up. And when West Coast came back, he was sort of the same. I could tell he wasn't, you know, he was off the, you know, his color didn't look good. He wasn't moving as well. And so we just stopped on him, and, you know, I didn't want to make the mistake. But now he looks fantastic now. I mean, he really is coming into this race really well. And one thing, you know, he's going to be first or second. I mean, that's just the way he is. And I just, you know, hope, you know, he just keeps continuing the progress, and, you know, having him and Kenzie in there, they're all tough. You know, Kenzie and West Coast, we know they'll fight. They'll fight to the bitter end.
I'm really fascinated by, I really look forward to seeing West Coast, because I remember I was very much looking forward to seeing Justify in person when he shipped to Churchill Downs, hearing all the, you know, the stories about him from our friend Gary Young, and he was just a physically beautiful, good-looking horse. And I remember West Coast was on that flight. You actually brought him here. You didn't really do much with him while he was here briefly. But, boy, he really filled out as a four-year-old. So to hear you say, you know, the race in Dubai took a lot out of him, I it's amazing how much these horses mature and flourish from 3 to 4.
Yeah, we brought him out here with that load, and, you know, we sent him up to Dr. Bramlage to give him the check over, and he said, you know, he could use a break, and we sent him out to Del Ridge, and they sent him back. I mean, he was a picture of health. They sent him back. I mean, he looked so beautiful, and it's amazing just what a little break, you know, can do for a horse. And he like I said, he couldn't look any better, and I'm really excited about him. And I think he's going into this Breeders' Cup better than he did last year. And so, I feel pretty good about him right now.
We're talking with Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert. Breeders' Cup, of course, coming back to Churchill Downs in 2 weeks. He's loaded with contenders. Bob, of course, to no surprise, is the Breeders' Cup all-time winningest trainer in money won. And not only does he have West Coast, you've brought up McKenzie. McKenzie earlier, you know, in the year, I know, he was your Derby horse. He was the horse before Justify made his debut, etc. And I know your exercise rider was on both, and you had to have conversations, which one's better, etc. But McKenzie went by the sidelines after winning or actually was disqualified and placed second in that controversial San Felipe. But he came out of that race with an injury. You come back, you give him the time. He easily wins the Pennsylvania Derby. But like you said, it was a hard race, but it was a fast race. How is he? It looks like he's none the worse for wear since the injury, and you sound encouraged that he put weight back on. Do you expect a move forward, or is that the type of race he's going to run?
Well, I mean, he definitely has to move forward if he's going to beat horses like West Coast or Collected. But Collected, he ran a really flat race. I thought he'd run a little bit better than that. I was sort of, you know, surprised he didn't run as well. But since then, you know, put blinkers on him, been aggressive in his training, and now he looks like he's ready to run. But I think McKenzie, he's, you know, after that race, I weigh these horses, and he lost about 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
you know, just from the shipping, and it was a really deep, tiring track that day. And but he's come back. It looks like he's put his weight on, and he's working really, really well. So as long as he keeps working the way he is, then you know we'll run him. But if I see that if he's just not quite up to it, then he's the one that, you know, that we'll just, you know, watch it really closely. But we know he's a good horse. Like, you know, he didn't, and I think the whole what happened is him not running in the Derby in those races. I think it was, you know, it was probably better for him, because, you know, he would have, you know, been chasing that red horse, and that would have been hard on him, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes things work out for a reason, and, you know, it just worked out because, you know, Justify, he was, nobody was going to beat him.
Mm-mm.
Bob, a horse you have for pointing towards the distaff is Abel Tasman, who was absolutely dominant this summer in the FIPS at Belmont and then winning the personal ensign. What happened in that last race in the Zenyatta?
You know, it was a really head-scratcher, puzzling race. You know, these horses will give us a head-scratcher once in a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was coming into it pretty well. And for some reason, it was a hot day that day. And she was, you know, Mike said she was just sort of listless and flat and never broke, really slow. And when you break slow at Santa Anita, the way this track is, and no horse could have, you just can't close on it. You have to be up there near the lead. And
I think you were telling me it's a deeper track these days out there in California.
So deep. It's totally different. It's totally a different track. You got to be up. If you're not up close, you just have no chance at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's come back, worked well. She worked today. She looks well. So I don't know what it was. I feel she's doing really well. So I can't see her running another race like that. It was just not her, but she looked great. You know, I did have some sickness going through the barn. Her blood was just like she was fighting something off, but, you know, I don't know if that really knocked her on her side a little bit that day, but she was just didn't want to come to work, you know, and they'll do that to you.
But the signs are positive now, which are encouraging. A couple other fillies and mares that you have pointed to the sprint. In fact, I'd say they're the top two choices, Marley's Freedom and Dream Tree. How are they coming up to the race? You have Marley's Freedom coming off the big layoff. I'm giving her the lean, but, you know, Dream Tree is no slouch either.
Well, I mean, Dream Tree is a really fast filly, and, mm-hmm. you know, it depends. You know, a lot's going to depend on, you know, what the track's like. You know, they never run on a wet track. If it's wet, deep, fast, you know, whatever. I remember coming to spring, I brought a lot of horses there that come off the pace, and they were just, you know, nothing was, you know, speed was winning, you know, for those 2 days there at Churchill. So you don't know what you're going to, you don't know what you're going to see, but, you know, they're both exceptional fillies. You know, Dream Tree is really fast. I worked her today from the gate. She looked, you know, she hasn't lost her fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Marley's Freedom, she looks fantastic. You know, she's a horse that just comes off just a little bit off the pace. So it's, you know, the draw is going to be important, but they're two really nice fillies. You know, so they're doing well right now.
Well, and you know, six and a half months from now, everybody around here, we're all talking Kentucky Derby, and you have the favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Now, it appeared this summer he was second fiddle to Roadster. We heard all the talk about Roadster, and, you know, I think you still have high hopes for him, even though he's on the shelf
Roadster's
at the moment.
TMZ put him on the map, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, I think he's a very good horse. He had a little throat issue. You know, corrected it.
Yep.
And he's coming back into training this next week. And so, you know, I think, you know, hopefully it'll be behind him. But
this game winner is, I mean, he is the real deal.
He's a gamer. I mean, he's for real. He's a real horse. And he just gets stronger. He's a big, strong horse. When you see him, he looks like a man amongst boys right now. He really looks the part. And so, he's, he's definitely, you know, I don't know if he'll be the favorite, but he looks good, and I think the distance is not going to be a problem. You know, just needs to ship well, stay healthy, break well, and I think he worked today, and he couldn't have looked more impressive. I worked him with Axeman, who's a nice stakes winner himself, and you know he kept up with him with ease, and he helped out fine. So I just, you know, as long as I can just keep him like that, you know, knock on wood that he stays healthy. I'm really excited about him.
And you have to be very excited for Gary and Mary West. I mean, they invest a lot into this game, and I know you always get excited when you have a real good one for them.
Well, they're really excited. I mean, they put a lot of, you know, time and effort into the game, and you know, he's always wanted to be at the, you know, nobody appreciated a championship more than Gary and Mary last year, Eclipse Awards, but they've got a, you know, they've got that game winner and then West Coast. I mean, they could have just a huge weekend.
You had a big weekend last week with the half sister to American Pharoah, cutting back in distance, going 6 furlongs. We're talking about Chasing Yesterday, who was ultra impressive. Went toe to toe with that Hollendorfer filly that's escaping me, but she ran a big race. That was I think that's going to be a very productive race. What's next for her, Chasing Yesterday?
Well, Mike Smith, he actually, you know, asked if he could ride that horse at Hollendorfer's, and I thought, yeah, you know, I'm pretty good about it. They want to ride something else. I just, you know, we had Braden, and Braden always works at Philly, so I really didn't, you know, I guess if I could have put a gun to his head, he would have stayed on her. But it was one of those things where it was a really good race, and Chasing Yesterday, their Saratoga race, I don't know what happened there. That was another head-scratcher. Mm-hmm. And those fillies, they'll do that, you know. They'll just show, you think they're going to show up, they don't run, they get beat a mile, and you say, well, and she came back and, you know, has trained well since that. So, but I think she's slowly, you know, we're going to try to get her to the Kentucky Oaks. That's the long-range plan. And
kind of on the, is she on the Starlet route, maybe?
She's on the Starlet route, yeah. She's on the, Starlet route. You know, I think if the Breeders' Cup would have been here, I think I wouldn't have had a problem turning her right back around and running in the Breeders' Cup. But
that's why I asked. Asked, because it's unusual for you to do that. But, you know, you did it with Game Winner was a prime example. You wheeled him back in 2 weeks off that impressive win the day he won the Del Mar Futurity. And
Game Winner, I did it because he's a big, heavy, strong horse. And the first race, I didn't think he could win his first down. He won it, and he was just, you know, all over the place. He was just real green, and he came back and worked really well. I was going to sit on him, but he's such a big, heavy horse. I thought, I'm going to have to work him a lot to keep, you know, and sometimes you hurt him, you know, too much, you know, working him. So, and I told Gary, he says, you know, I know you might think I'm crazy, but, you know, Gary's been great. He says, hey, Bobby, you know, if you think he can handle it, just do it. And then he just came on, but, you know, he's a real deal.
Switch over to another 2-year-old filly, Mother. Are you going to give her a shot to go 2 turns in the juvenile fillies?
You know what? She was I was going to, but she got light on me at, at Del Mar, and I was, you know, happy with that race. And I think so I backed off for a little bit, but I think I might be bringing her for the Rags of Riches the week before.
Okay.
Churchill.
Yeah.
Might run her there, that one turn mile.
I'll tell you what, if you haven't looked carefully at the condition book, you might want to load up that plane. Maiden special weight's $76,000 this fall.
I don't have any maidens left.
That's right. What about our man Woody down there at Woody from the Toy Story down there at Los Al? Mike Marlowe.
He's getting another wave ready.
Yeah, do we I know you get the other wave ready. Do we have any, you know, good reports yet? Anybody we can share with our listener?
Like any justifying?
Yeah. I'm not stupid enough to sit here and go, do you have another justify? Because there's only one justify, and it's never good to put that pressure on a horse. But anybody eliciting excitement?
he's got some over there. They're just getting ready. But no, I haven't got any. I've got them all with me right now.
Okay, that's good. That's good. All right. Last but not least, we saw you were at the Dodger game the other night, and our man Joe Buck. I know you did his show. I think it was a couple of
Joe
years
Buck
ago.
Joe Buck is my buddy, and he showed me a little love.
He showed you a lot of love.
A lot of love.
So tell me about this. Racing. Don't you know, did I hear Walker Buehler came to visit your barn recently, the pitcher for the Dodgers, 22 years old?
Yes, he's a very nice kid, and he came over. He loves horse racing. Mm-hmm. His girlfriend's sister is actually married to Robbie Alvarado, the jockey, and
correct.
We just met her at the game.
Paige Alvarado,
I went to the game to support him, mm-hmm. and then I went and up and met his mother, and I told his mother, please don't tell Buehler I was here because I don't want him to think he got beat because we showed up. And so, it was fun. He's, he loves horses, and we really enjoyed him, and it was funny when he came to my barn. Everybody that works for me, they kept telling me, all my grooms and hot walkers, is that Walker Buehler? Mm-hmm. Dodgers.
Yeah.
And so they were crazy about him. So, but he was, I can't wait for tonight. I hope they go to the World Series.
I hope he's not pitching tomorrow night. That's what I'm hoping, because that would mean that Ryu shut down the Brewers this evening and the Dodgers would be on to the World Series. It'd be fun. And it would also be fun to get a 22-year-old rookie with that lightning bolt of an arm who's going to have a monstrous contract to maybe buy into a horse or two down the road. I mean, this is advanced recruitment. I can see you working.
He loves the horses, though. He likes. He considers himself a handicapper.
Yeah.
He follows handicapping, because he grew up there, like goes to Keeneland, loves Keeneland, and hopefully they get it done tonight. They don't have to count on it. But he throws so hard. When you're sitting down there, and that's when you can. He really throws hard, and so.
Yeah, anybody that hasn't had a chance to watch a major leaguer pitch in person. I remember I went to a Dodger Red game a year ago, and I believe it was Julio Urias, the young Hispanic kid, was pitching, and he throws a fastball of about 92, 93. And then they brought in Saez, the reliever, who throws around 97. The difference between 92 and 97 is unbelievable. And then you have a Walker Buehler, who I think he's averaging a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball. It's a lightning bolt of an arm. But he's a Lexington native and horse racing connection with his sister-in-law to be is Paige Alvarado. So anyway, Bob,
I remember going to one of those Pomona County fairs. They used to have a deal when I was younger where you could throw a pitch and see how fast you were throwing it.
Yeah.
I threw it hard. I thought I think I threw 37 miles an hour.
Yeah. You cracked 37.
That was my heat.
That was the heat. That was the good stuff back in the good days. All right, pal. Well, we truly appreciate the visit and the information, and we'll look forward. When are you shipping the horses here? Which day are we looking at?
The week of the Breeders' Cup.
Okay. Well,
Security Rick keeps asking on the backstretch.
Yeah, our man, our Security Rick is looking for you. So,
Sunday and Tuesday, yeah.
Okay, bud. Well, hey, appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you, and best of luck in a couple of weeks.
All right, we'll see you. All righty, thanks for having me.
Okay, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, the greatest. He's he gives it as it is, and he's really live. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
So let's analyze the conversation.
Yeah.
It sure sounds like West Coast is the horse.
I mean, West Coast is it. And it's surprising.
Don't sleep on Collected.
Don't sleep on Collected. And McKenzie's a little bit iffy, which I originally thought maybe McKenzie, he sort of was the Justify before Justify, but it's interesting to hear. But West Coast is it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that he thinks, just reading between the lines, that McKenzie's ready just yet to take that leap and compete with these top older horses.
And this is when I love you analyzing Bob, because when you were out in California doing the notes and out there every mm-hmm. morning and talking to Bob, and I mean, if anyone knows how to read Bob best, it's you, because
we you know what, we go back before he was Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember he was known, Bob Baffert in the early 90s was known as he was the quarter horse guy who could only win with a bunch of stakes type sprinters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember Gunga Dia, Let the Big Hoss Roll. These were cowbred,
let them roll
sprinters. And then, of course, he won the Breeders' Cup Sprint a few years earlier with, 92, I think, was his first Breeders' Cup win with 30 slews. They paid $30,000 for it. That's wow. how much it cost, 30 slews. But, and then that, Cavaneer, the cowbred, mm-hmm. came around and had that narrow, heartbreaking loss to Grindstone in the 96 Derby. And then look out. I mean, it was game on from that point forward. And he always used to get this. That was the one thing about Bob and Beverly Lewis. They always had their horses with Wayne Lucas. But they always tossed a couple to Bob Baffert. Mm-hmm. And I believe they were both lived in Huntington Beach. I think they had a little bit of an Orange County, Huntington Beach type of connection. And there was another turf trainer. His name's escaping me. But Bob and Beverly Lewis, they always tossed a bone or two. But then when Bob showed what he could do, it was I'll just use the name of his juvenile favorite. It was game winner.
Yep.
I mean, he really exploded. So, yeah, we go back a long ways. And it was great to have him on for a visit. We wanted to get a big guest on tonight's show. And we're going to spend the rest of the way talking about how some of these Breeders' Cup races are shaping up. But before I do that, we'd be remiss. Mm-hmm. We had a stakes race today at Keeneland, the Valley View, which was won by Colonia. Joe Bravo gets up and wins and pays $1,660. But, boy, it was a very interesting race, KK. Daddy's is a legend for George Weaver. Looked a winner sliding up the rail. And what was it, inside the 16th pole, that the horse just bolted and went left and took down the temporary rail.
Yeah, it's a credit to Manny Franco, who actually stayed aboard this horse. It was pretty crazy because, I mean, that's one thing with the temporary rail that I love at Keeneland, because, you know, when things like this happen in racing, mm-hmm. horses, they see things out of the corner of their eyes, and they want to go. It's sort of like a dog seeing a squirrel. They want to go chase after it. He could have saw something out of the corner of his eye, and he went right through the temporary rail. Looks like all was well in there. But, I mean, it was a pretty impressive win for Colonia. And, I bet Cool Beans, who ran in third, bad beat for KK. But that's all right. We'll get him tomorrow.
Yeah, Colonia over Get Explicit, Cool Beans third. And then also today at Keeneland, we had a trip down there, I know, from ESPN 680 morning host Drew Diener.
Well, I wonder if he wore his blue for Sea Blue Day down there.
I do not think he was wearing Kentucky blue, but he did go down there with Brandon Lang, and we were really hoping to get Drew on the show for the second half to, you know, get some tales from the track.
Did I hear he sat in the green room?
So we talked to him beforehand, mm-hmm. and let's just say Volcano Diener was erupting.
Oh.
I don't believe he cashed many tickets today.
Yeah.
I believe his hatred for Javier Castellano has now gravitated to Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith.
Really?
Yeah, it sounds like he might have bet Mike Smith in a race or two and might not have got the resume-building type of ride that Mike would, like to see on there. Uh-huh. And then I hear Brandon Lang, who really, he's known for his gaming.
Yeah.
And his sports picks, but he's not the most knowledgeable, horse bettor,
mm-hmm.
relies on others. He's known for, trying to bet a super trifecta, which doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But, I was also told that he may or may not have attempted to buy into a pick five
uh-huh.
after the first leg had won.
Right.
And all I know is Diener was not a happy camper, and Volcano Diener was ready to erupt, but he can't even come on the radio to tell tales. He apparently, I guess it was 85 degrees down there, which I don't understand how. This is a quote from him. It was 85 degrees. Now, I'm looking outside the ESPN 680 studios right now, where I know it's barely reached 58. I guess there was a big heat wave that went down 64.
I'm wearing a Christmas sweater.
But he said it was 85 degrees and beautiful, and we went to the only place at the racetrack where there was no beautiful women. He went to the green room.
There, so the key, see, I need to talk to
he
Drew
did not have a good
the key
day.
To the green room is the bread pudding. They have the best bread pudding at the track.
He doesn't care about bread pudding.
See, here's the deal.
He wants a little something to look at while he's handicapped.
Yeah, but when Travis Stone and I go down there and we get the bad beat, you know, we're kind of mad at the ride or get some sort of bad trip, we go to the bad beat bread pudding. Bad beat bread pudding,
right.
And then you eat that. Everything is good until your next bad ride. But Drew will be, happy to hear that Javier Castellano will be in the 502 on Sunday morning to Breese Catholic Boy. So maybe
that is true.
Maybe we
will
arrange
have.
You
know
breakfast.
What? We need to get Drew Diener out at the racetrack on Sunday morning for the Catholic Boy pre Reader's Cup Classic workout with a one-on-one interview. That would be good. That would be real good, an intervention. But I'm sure we'll hear more about tales from the track maybe on Monday from Drew Diener. But we always like to hear his tales because, he does not take losing well. Let's just leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. A race you can bet on tomorrow at Keeneland is the Raven Run. That's the feature race, the Grade 2 $250,000 sprint for three-year-old fillies. They'll be going 7/8 of a mile. Not sure if we're going to have any Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint implications, but you never know. Moonshine Memories, ridden by Diener's favorite, Mike Smith, is in town from California for a trainer, Simon Callahan. She is the 3-1 morning line favorite. And the second choice is Alter Moon for Chad Brown, 7-2 on the line for Jose Ortiz. KK, I don't know if you have any strong opinions in this race. I did notice that we have the return of Blamed.
How about that?
This was a horse that was the Sunland Park Oaks winner who had, rattled off, I think it was 4 or 5 wins in a row and was considering a run in the Kentucky Oaks when she was trained by Joel Marr, but she came down with an injury. She's now in the hands of Bill Mott to go from Joel Marr in Sunland, in New Mexico to go to Bill Mott. I just find that very interesting, and it's the same owner.
And here's some more steam about this horse. So maybe we're on to something.
Okay.
Bill Mott was on horseback this morning on the backstretch of Churchill Downs. He was here. And, the Breeders' Cup horses are still up at Saratoga. Yoshida's still up there. So very intrigued to see Bill Mott here, who's probably in town for this race tomorrow.
He might also be just checking on Kenny McCarthy.
He could be checking
keeping
on
him
Kenny.
Keeping him in check.
But, yeah.
Big day tomorrow morning, by the way, speaking of Breeders' Cup implications. You're going to want to tune in, and you can watch the races on twinspires.com. I'm sure on TVG the races will be shown as well. But we have Champions Day up at Ascot. This is the it's not Royal. It's not Royal this time of year, but it is Ascot. Top hats are not required.
Yeah.
But the a number of Breeders' Cup implications on the line. I believe we have 5 Group 1 events. The big horse, I think, that the Breeders' Cup is most looking at is the John Gosden-trained Roaring Lion, who is going to cut back from 1.25 miles to 1 mile in advance of a run, possibly, and in the Breeders' Cup. Could go in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Could go maybe mile, maybe turf. I don't know. They have a number of options, but a lot of nice horses that are appearing tomorrow at Ascot.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting with Roaring Lion because with the cutback to 1 mile, and I think the only other option for this horse would be to go 1.5 miles, and I don't think he really wants to go 1.5 miles, so it's sort of one way or the other. And it's interesting to note it's only 2 weeks before the Breeders' Cup, so this horse would run.
But not unusual. Not unusual for the Europeans.
Exactly. Not unusual. They're used to running over there, and They have a lot more tracks running at a lot more times than we do typically over here in the United States. So not unusual at all, but just will be interesting to see what he does tomorrow. And obviously his stablemate, one of the key players and one of the probably most buzzed horses that'll come here for the Breeders' Cup in Enable, and I just can't wait to lay my eyes on her.
We can't wait to see Enable. This is the eighth filly, the eighth horse to win back-to-back renewals of the Arc de Triomphe. That is the biggest race in all of Europe, and you know, for a three-year-old filly to win it last year, come back after an injury earlier in the year, and then win the Arc a couple of weeks ago. And to hear that now she's going to be on a plane coming over here for the Breeders' Cup Turf, this is the star of the show. I mean, this is absolutely, arguably, one of the best horses in training anywhere in the world that'll be running right here at Churchill Downs. Another horse to keep an eye on that's running in the Group 1 race tomorrow against Roaring Lion. That's the QE2, by the way, the Queen Elizabeth 2 at a mile on the turf, is the three-year-old filly Lawrence. She won a Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf winning your in earlier this year, but folks, this is a miler, and this is a filly that wants to take on the boys in the Breeders' Cup mile. So let's keep an eye on Carl Burke's trained Lawrence. She won the Sun Chariot last time out at Newmarket, the matron at Leopardstown, and then earlier this year the Yorkshire Oaks. So the Prix de Diane is what she won earlier. So oh my gosh, I just got a text message from Brandon Lang.
Oh, they must be listening on
64. Yes, we need you to call in. We need a phone call in from Brandon Lang with a live report from
Mount Diener.
From Mount Diener, who would be driving?
Probably in Wadi.
Probably cannot, erupt. Mm-hmm. But we do need to hear. Apparently, Brandon won and had a big day. So, stay tuned. We're gonna get Brandon Lang on the phone, and I'm sure he'll tell us all about how miserable Drew is. Before we go there, Lawrence is just a big player that you're gonna want to keep an eye on for the Breeders' Cup. Breeders' Cup Mile.
And that's why sort of this pre-entry deadline, which will be on Monday at noon, is really important for the Breeders' Cup, because 14 days out from the Derby, we essentially know who's going to make the field for the Derby. So it's a little bit different when you're talking about 14 Breeders' Cup races and horses coming from all around the world, because with only about 30 horses here right now, I mean, we're looking at another 130 horses that'll be on the grounds at Churchill Downs. And so all those shipping plans will get finalized by that Wednesday announcement at 11:30, so it'll be very exciting to get all those ducks in a row.
And that'll happen again, 11:30 on Wednesday, and you can log in and watch. Just go to breederscup.com. You'll hear the announcement live. I believe Kate Bradar and Joe Christofek, our own Joe McKay, will be helping Kate and Bradar out with that announcement and revealing the names. Okay. Now,
here we go.
We got to get tied on here because, first of all, we love people that cash tickets at the track. And we all share in bad beats. Mm-hmm. And there's no one that, you know, can relate more than professional tout / gambler Brandon Lang, who is not exactly, you know, a horse racing aficionado. However, he is the Kentucky Derby's biggest fan.
Oh, my God.
He's a Kentucky Derby.
Right now, I got to find it.
Yeah, where you at, man? Hey, where you at, pal? Brandon Lang.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to hang up.
Brandon, you can't hear me?
Yeah, hold on. I'll call you right back.
Okay, he's going to call us right back. He's got to call us right back. But
right,
Brandon Lang,
right,
for those of you that don't know, the movie Two for the Money was made after him. A man that was, you know, Brandon, are you still there?
All right. So here's a great story.
Okay, here we go.
Better than this. So we go to Keeneland today.
Yeah.
Jimbo Schaefer's my handicapper. He's done well for me. Drew's there. Everybody's there. The crew's there. Now you have to understand something. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to horses.
Yep.
I'm a sports handicapper. I tell people which games to bet. So when I go to the track, I just do whatever people tell me to do. Now, last year, same time of the year at Keeneland, there was this Russian woman that worked at the ticket counter. So I walk up to her and I'm like, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. Here's my bet. This is what I'm going to put in. What else should I do? And she goes, well, you know, you should hook up this and protect yourself here. Put this in. Well, that ticket didn't have to be like a $1,400 ticket off like a $40 bet. Drew was pissed. He was going to make me walk home. It was unbelievable. So that was last year.
Yeah.
Well, this gets better. So we're at Keeneland. Jimbo hit a $400 race for me, gave some back, whatever. So the guy that's working behind the counter, Eddie, I go up there. It's the ninth race, and Eddie puts in a exacta box and this and that, and he goes, what else? I'm like, well, you know, a lot of horses in this race. There's 13 horses in this race. Let's get creative. He goes, you want to get creative? I go, yeah, let's get creative. He goes, okay, we'll do a super.
You called it a super trifecta, right?
Okay, we're going to do a superfecta box. And he goes,
there you go.
We'll take five horses. He goes, we'll put five across. In the second spot, we'll go all. And then we'll go in the third spot, same five horses. Fourth spot, same five horses. He goes, we'll do a 10-cent superfecta box.
Yeah.
I go, perfect, done. Now we watch the race. As the race is coming down, the favorite's on the inside. The favorite's going to win. All of a sudden, the favorite decides to run through the rail to the left and go into the infield.
Yep.
So now the favorite's gone. They finish. Now it's, what do you call it, under review?
Yeah, inquiry. Yeah. It's a steward's inquiry into the Raven
now,
run. Yep.
I have no idea how much my ticket, what's going on. And I walk back up, and Eddie goes, if it finishes this way, this is big. I go, define big. He goes, I don't know what big is, but this is big. Now understand, I have no idea what I bet.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It was a $62 ticket. I have no idea. 10-cent superfecta, your fecta, my fecta, my mama's fecta. I don't know what it is. So now, inquiry, all good. Are you ready? This is almost as good as the Drew Diener $50 rant. It's better than that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the all slot of the second place was a 70-1 bomb.
Yep.
Cha-ching.
And the $62 ticket pays. Can I get a drum roll, please? $3,483.
Oh, this is so great.
At one point, I get the $3,483. And being the human being that I am, who has no clue what just happened or what he just did, I take the $400 and hand my boy Eddie, who said, let's get creative, and tipped him $400 and took my $3,083 and walked back to the table. I thought Drew Dean was going down to the track to hurt someone,
yeah,
to kill someone.
Well, hold on. You haven't told any stories about how he's cashed tickets today. How did he do?
Drew broke even. Drew from the front seat has said, I have an empty wallet. And I try to help Drew. Remember the movie Jerry Maguire? Help me to help you. Help me to help you. You think we're arguing. I think we're communicating.
I would just do whatever you're doing. You've been to Keeneland twice in 2 years. And you've come away a winner and have increased your ROI. I mean, this
here's
is fabulous.
Here's what I've realized.
Yeah.
Darren, here's what I've realized. When you go to the track and you take your opinion and you just throw it out the door, yeah, and you just, you know what I felt like today? I felt like Richard Dreyfuss in Let It Ride. I relived Let It Ride today. I cashed a $62, 10-cent superfecta, a ticket that cost $62, for $3,483. You can't make this up.
No, this
the
is fabulous.
The magic of Brandon Lang in the state of Kentucky reigns supreme. It's unbelievable.
I am having a very good day.
I'm having a very good day. Unbelievable.
All right,
it's
well,
unbelievable.
Hey, safe drive back. I'm sure, you know, Diener's taking all this well. I'm sure we'll hear about it all on Monday morning. But congratulations on the big win. Love it.
Thank you. I, he's trying to get my boy to drop me off and make me walk the next 54 miles. That's how upset he is with me. So I'm trying to cheer him up and say, I'm going to treat for dinner. We can go to any restaurant in Louisville. I'll treat for dinner. I'm the big winner. I'm trying to cheer him up. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to do my best.
No, you got to let him just be. Let the volcano erupt and just keep him away from Twitter and Facebook.
Drew, Darren said, let the volcano erupt and keep you away from Twitter and Facebook.
That actually, get him on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
I know, right? We got to get him on. So.
All right, pal.
I love you, man.
All right, love
you,
you too. Congratulations. And we'll see you in 6.5 months at the Derby.
We will. Thank you, buddy boy.
All right. Great Brandon Lang. He's spicing up the tail end of the show.
And what a great show.
Really?
This
I mean, did you think we were going to go in this direction? We go from Bob Baffert to Brandon Lang. I mean, two Hall of Famers in my book. And then tales of, you know, Volcano Diener erupted. I
pulled up Diener's Twitter just to see what was on there.
Yeah, can we read from it?
Yeah, gutless effort from Mike Smith. The magic is gone. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
This is so great.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Brandon comes away, you know, $3,000 richer. And we're laughing hysterically at the trials of Drew Diener, who, you know, probably bought a $200 hot dog today at Keeneland.
Yeah.
And I know he was nowhere near any of the women because he was in the gold room or the green room, sorry, at Keeneland.
Yeah.
He just, you know, it's been a long week for the kid.
Long week. You know, it's all right.
Brandon's been here all week. And, you know, the good news is he ended with going back, you know, home with more money than what he started with. So we envy that. We hope we get to do that tomorrow as we wager on twinspires.com.
The official
Champions Day. Yeah, the
official
sponsor of our show. And tomorrow at Champions Day. And then, of course, a week from Sunday, we will have opening day of the fall meet at Churchill Downs. I can't believe it. It's great.
Yep.
And then the Breeders' Cup is 2 weeks from today on November 2nd and 3rd. Thank you again to our guest, Bob Baffert, Hall of Fame trainer, and then Brandon Lang. Brandon Lang.
It's great.
I just never envisioned us going down that road today. Yep. But I'm thrilled that he called in, you know. Thank you to you, KK.
No.
Don't forget, tune in to BreedersCup.com Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. for the Breeders' Cup pre-entry announcement. We'll know who's in the November 2nd and 3rd Breeders' Cup. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next Friday night. I'm Darren Rogers. Thanks for listening to Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680, 105.7. Go Dodgers. Hey.